Genesis chapter 9, verse 18, the flood has receded. His family and Noah and his family have survived. Let's pick up in verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the boat with their father were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. From these three sons of Noah came all the people who now populate the earth. After the flood, Noah began to cultivate the ground, and he planted a vineyard. And one day he drank some wine he had made. He became drunk and laid naked inside of his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father was naked and went outside and told his brothers. Then Shem and Japheth took a robe, held it over their shoulders, and backed into the tent to cover their father. As they did this, they looked the other way so that they would not see him naked. Then Noah woke up from his stupor. He learned what Ham, his youngest, had done, and he cursed Canaan, the son of Ham. May Canaan be cursed. May he be the lowest of the servants to his relatives. And Noah said, may the Lord, the God of Shem, be blessed, and may Canaan be his servant. May God expand the territory of Japheth. May Japheth share the prosperity of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. I want to talk to you today. I'm thankful for the church. Let's pray. Jesus, please help me. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. A pencil maker had taken the final pencil and was about to place it into the box, and he gave it some commands. Number one, you're only powerful if you're in the right hands. Number two, you will become sharpened, but it's only to help you stay on point. Number three, you have the ability to overcome your mistakes. You just got to turn yourself upside down. Number four, the most important part of you is inside. Number five, wherever you go, leave a mark. And number six, even if you're broken, your ability to write is still intact. I believe that God gives the same instructions to every person that's in this meeting today. Number one, you are powerful because you're in the hands of God. Can I get an amen? Number two, life has a way of sharpening you, but what the enemy meant for evil, God can make good come out of it. Can I get an amen here today? Number three, people want to make your past sins permanent. But God says if you'll humble yourself, he can redeem those and he can make something good come out of them. Number four, people want to judge you and value you on the outside, but God says your greatest value is on the inside. Number five, you are a threat to the enemy because God didn't put you on this earth to exist. He put you on this earth to make a difference. And number six, and most importantly, even if you're broken, your ability to be used is still intact. In fact, I have found after pastoring a number of years that some of the people that God uses the most are people who have been broken the most. And I thank God because he is building his church in Kentucky through Three Trees Church, through you, through each section, through every row, through every seat, that God is building his church and increasing his church. Why? Because it is the church's privilege to be a part of the redemption of broken, shattered lives. In fact, if I told you my whole story, it would take too long, but I will tell you this. Jesus saved my soul, but the church I pastor, Charleston Church, literally saved my life. They brought a broken man and a broken woman to my parents. They brought our broken family in, and they facilitated an opportunity for Jesus Christ to not only do a work on the inside, but to do a work on the outside and redeem a very broken group of people. Now, I'm here to tell you that if you've come here for the first time, before this service is over, I trust that you'll respond to the invitation to allow Christ to come into your life, because God's not looking for perfect people. By the way, there aren't any. He's looking for people who will be honest, who will give their broken and shattered lives to him. And boy, does Noah embody what God can do for broken people. Let's take Noah. He has survived the flood, something nobody else had ever been through. But the problem is, as soon as the flood is over, he immediately goes back to work. He didn't take any time. Imagine what, everybody is gone. There's death and carnage all over the planet. And he immediately goes back to work Monday morning. Was out fishing in Lake Ontario one time and saw a storm coming. So the captain of the ship pulled us over into a cove and we watched this powerful storm pass by us. When the storm got by, all of us like, let's go fishing, man. Let's go on. No, he said. He said, more people die on the tail end of a storm than they ever do at the front of it. There's power on the back end of the storm. And if you go out too soon, you'll get destroyed. I'm here to tell you that there are people in this community, I believe there's people in this service. You've been through some significant trauma, trials, and tragedy. And sometimes religion wants you to just put on a good face, put on a smile, say, oh, I'm blessed, hallelujah, praise his holy name. But on the inside, you're bleeding, you're suffering, the carnage of your soul is still real. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to fake it until you make it. You're in a place where some real pastors, with some real leadership, with some real people can absorb your pain, come on, and can absorb your suffering and tell you it's going to be all right. Come on, somebody say this with me. It is going to be all right. In fact, I believe that there are people here that God has brought here because he sees the heart of this church. In fact, I heard somebody say, you're in the right place. I don't know, I was going to tell you I thought of it, but I just knew you'd know I was a liar from the very beginning right here. So Noah goes right back to work, and he gets drunk. He's drinking Tennessee whiskey, strawberry wine, a glass of brandy. I mean, he's got the whole thing right there. And you and I could just stand there and judge Noah. Doesn't he know he's in the Bible? Come on, dude. Like, the kids are going to study your life. I think that we better be careful when we look at what somebody's been through and judge them by what they're doing until we've been through what they've been through, right? Right? Come on, can we be honest about it today? I don't know what I don't know what you've been through, and maybe I wouldn't have done as well as you have done, but I'm gonna reserve my criticism and my judgment and my Facebook posts, because there but by the grace of God there go I. I could be the guy lying on the street. I could be the guy dealing drugs. Come on, somebody. I could be the person propensing pain, but I'm here to tell you that just because you've been there, the church is not going to hold you there, because for sinners Christ died. Amen. I know that this culture is beginning to influence many churches and many Christians, and we have become, too many have become like the world, and we're trying to be as venomous, and we're trying to be as violent, and we're trying to be self-righteous. People say, oh, there's so much religion and legalism in the church. There's legalism in Washington, D.C. Come on, somebody. It's just the flesh trying to pump ourselves up by pushing other people down. No, at the foot of the cross, there's as much grace and mercy for anybody as there is for me and for you. And so Noah does what he's never done. He gets drunk and passes out. So I need to illustrate this today, and I was given commands when I came in through the door, so I do what I'm told when I'm not home. And so I need a Noah, and I was told that Pastor Kurt wanted to be the Noah. So would you please welcome Noah to the stage as he... Now, don't get nervous. Not if you're visiting, not everybody brings a pillow when the preacher preaches. Like, this is going to be a long message. You saw the first service. That is so funny. I love these people. All right. So, Noah, you threw me off, man. That's hard to do. That's not easy to do, is that right? So, Noah gets drunk, but you didn't know this. He got naked. Throw me off now. No, I'm just kidding. He gets drunk, naked, and passes out on a very feminine pillow, by the way. All right. And he passes out. Thank you. Now, I'm told that there's a Shem, Ham, and Japheth over here. You can come forward, please. Come forward. Everybody welcome Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, guys. All right. You are?
Brett.
Ham.
Ham.
All right.
Ham.
Hold that. Ham comes in. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? All right. Ham goes to his father, does nothing for his father, turns his back on his father, distances himself from his father, and starts running his mouth about his father. Now, there's two things that you'll observe. One, I'm not a great producer. And number two, he's a worse actor. All right? Come on, Ham. Let's work with me here a little bit, all right? So Ham sees his father, won't do anything for his father, turns his back on his father, distances himself from his father, and runs his mouth about his father. Not bad. He's a quick learner right there. One more time. One more time. I want to make sure the people get it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Are you ready? Ham sees his father, does nothing for his father, turns his back on his father, distances himself from his father, and runs his mouth about his father. Met anybody in church that does that? Come on, let's get tight in here. Met anybody in church that does that? Met anybody that just got a prayer request? Come on, that's the world. Bless his heart. I've come to find out what that means, and I'm very discouraged by the encouragement. I'm just teasing. Let me tell you something, church. We can be, and I believe in all of that Bible, but we can be so loud that people can't hear the message anymore. That there is nobody beyond the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, come on, Christ died for broken people. So in comes Shem and Japheth. All right? Here, they turn their backs. Yeah. They turn their backs to their dad. Are you ready? You're going to need a chiropractor or something. Hold on to that. Right onto your back. Yeah. They turn their backs to their father. Now, let me just say this. While we know that people are broken, and while we know that people get into trouble, and while we know people get into sin, I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing that could ever happen to them is that they hear that Jesus Christ died for people just like that. Just like that. What they need is the gospel. What they need is the gospel. The gospel does not make its focus on your past. The gospel makes its focus on your future. Come on. Oh, yes, oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God. Praise God. I am a child of the King. But watch as Shem and Japheth back up. Beep, 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 beep. They got to work together. They got to come in unity. They got to stay in unity. Please hear this. A friend of mine, pastor who owned a Christian bookstore, and in that Christian bookstore was an aisle of Bible toys. And they had figurines, Moses, David, and Jesus. Mother brought the toys back and wanted her money back. And they said, why? She said, you know how hard it is to teach my children about these Bible characters? When my son takes the Bible characters and Moses rips off David's arm and David kicks Jesus' head off his body. That's how boys, when I was a kid, I just played with Stretch Armstrong, right? That's what boys do. They just destroy stuff. And what happened was an illustration that every one of those had an enemy. Moses had a Pharaoh. David had a Goliath. Jesus had a devil. But the problem came is when they started fighting the person that wasn't their enemy. Do me a favor. Would you look left? And would you look right? And you all just looked at somebody's back of the head, I guess, when I said it that way. Look left and right. Just go ahead, look left and right. Look up here. They're not your enemy. Hello? Go ahead and tell somebody beside you, you're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. You know who our enemy is? Our enemy is the enemy. Our enemy is corruption. Our enemy is abuse. Come on, our enemy is greed. Our enemy is lies. honestly, honestly. We Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Please hear this. The devil can't destroy the church. Only the church can destroy the church. And I know that we're in a very political time and we're in a very political season. But Jesus didn't say that because of a certain political party, I'll build my church. He said, based on the blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrected power of Christ, and the doctrines of our church. Come on, somebody. He will build his church. These are the greatest days for the church of Jesus Christ. They backed in and then they covered him. They covered their dad. They covered him up, and then they let him heal. I'm just telling you something. There is something healing in the presence of a people who will cover their brothers and sisters in Christ. You ever gone somewhere and, oh, I forgot my wallet. Can you cover me? Can you help me through this period of time? Just this time, can you help me here? There is something healing. The Bible says, Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together, there I am. And while Noah is unconscious of what's going on around him, because of what's going on around him, something is changing inside of him. He didn't ask for it. My goodness. How many are glad that when you weren't thinking about Jesus, Jesus was thinking about you? When you were out running there, God was running after you. And thank God. They began to give their dad a covering. And without him even praying, he's starting to go through detox. Suddenly something arises in him. He says, I don't want to be doing this anymore. He goes into this unconscious state bound. But when he wakes up, he's going to wake up free. Please hear what I'm telling you. Somebody's got a lost child, a lost grandchild, because you keep covering people, because you stay faithful, because you keep praying. They may not be knowing it, but the angels of heaven are encamped all around them. Amen. The grace and the mercy of God is going after them. I don't care where they are. God knows how to find them. One, after the detox, Noah wakes up. How's that? You're going to be pretty rested tomorrow after the day's message. He wakes up, and what's the first thing he starts doing? The musicians can come. He starts prophesying. I could preach there for a long time, but I'm going to tell you, just because somebody's struggling doesn't mean that they don't have a gift. Just because somebody's been broken, just because, I'm not saying you get saved one Sunday and you prophesy the next. I am just saying if you've been broken, it doesn't mean that God's dismissed you. He hasn't canceled you. He's still got a purpose for you. He's still got a plan for you. Come on, somebody. He's still going to do something with your life. Noah calls Ham forward, and he ain't happy. Ham, he says, you... Not even says to him, he says, your sons are going to be cursed. Can I just share a word of encouragement? When we see somebody else's kids hurting, we ought not be attacking them or hurting them or talking about them or posting about them or texting about them. The only appropriate way for a Christian to respond when somebody else's kid is hurting is to be praying for them, is to be loving. Come on, to love them, to reach out to them, to help them, to invite them, to remind them that God's got something better for them. I tell you what, if you'll make sure that you take care of somebody else's kids, God will make sure somebody will take care of yours. Amen. Then he calls Shem and Japheth over. Come on, Shem and Japheth. He says, you're going to be blessed. The people that come after you are going to be, the territory is going to be expanding. Because you're willing to treat people differently than they're used to being treated. God says, I will put my blessing on your lives. Because of what you have been through and because of what you have experienced, your hearts are different. And you don't see people through the eyes of religion. You don't see people through the eyes of anger. You don't see people through the eyes of pride. Your generation sees people through the eyes of compassion. And you're going to be strong enough to say right is right, wrong is wrong, but you're still going to say there's a soul inside that person. And I'll fight. I'll wrestle. I'll do what I got to do. I'm going to come back and preach on Jacob wrestling. I'm going to put you up against him, and I'm going to watch that. I'll pay tickets for that wrestling. I feel an anointing here today that God wants to use you and you. Come here. Now I'm feeling guilty. That God will raise up a generation of young men in Jesus' name that he will use in a powerful way. How many just in your heart just say, I'm not going to let the devil have that generation. Some of you are older. God put you, you still got breath. You, some of you are the only reason you're still alive is because there's some broken people out there. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you'll do what God called you to do, he'll put breath in your lungs and he'll keep calling young men and women. These are not the last, these are not the worst days. These are the best days for Three Trees Church. And you're going to see people get saved and come to church that you never thought you'd see in the house of God. And they're going to do mighty things for God. And you'll see an outpouring of his spirit like never before. Thank you. You can stand together with me. Sorry, I get excited every now and then. But I'm excited for Three Trees because I believe that God's been looking over this place. My Lord. I said, I believe that God's been looking over this church, and he's not going to send broken people everywhere. He's looking for people that he can trust with his precious broken people. Very quickly, the church I pastor is 100 years old next year, and I'm the third pastor they've had since 1947. It's a rich legacy. They were gathering in a tent. Townspeople hated them. They were throwing battery acid on the tent. The ladies the next morning would sew up the tent holes. A man that owned a one-room schoolhouse invited the church, said, you can have this as your church as long as you let me bring my dog and play the saxophone on the stage. So you just do what you got to do when you're in humble beginnings. At that time, it was in the 40s, if somebody owed you money, like if you owed me money, I could send you to debtor's prison. $1,000 the man owed him. Church was small. And so he sent him to debtor's prison. Small church, small enough to know when somebody wasn't at church on Sunday. Right? Some of you could miss a month, and maybe somebody see you, maybe not. They knew it. Talk began. Where that guy over there sent him to jail. You know what those people did? They took up an offering. My wife's grandfather, Aubrey Dunphy, was a potato farmer, made $36 a week, and he gave $100 in that offering. And they raised $1,000, that's right, to pay a debt they didn't commit. They didn't cause it. They didn't ask for it. They didn't mean it. They weren't responsible. But that's the love of a family. I always wonder how that guy that sent him to jail felt when they were taking up the offering. I traced the family of the man that sent the guy to jail. Nothing but heartache and pain. Until one generation got saved and all of that stopped. How many know there's no curse in the cross? There's no curse in the cross. But if you track the family of Aubrey, and they're just very humble, poor people in the middle of nowhere, dozens and dozens of kids, grandkids, now great-grandkids, and 100% of them serving the Lord, completely committed to Christ, because one humble person, I think, started a blessing track. Come on, a blessing track. I'm going to tell you today, get ready for blessing. Some of you are struggling. Some of your kids are hurting. But I'm here to tell you today, don't give up. Don't give up, because you've sown seeds of obedience and faithfulness, and God will reward those seeds of faithfulness. Just before I go, can I pray for some broken people today? Would you let me do that for you? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for every single person that's in this gathering. It's not coincidence who is here today. It's by divine plans. You wanted them to hear what was going to be said. Lord, I say it, but there's nothing like it when you by your Spirit finds us in our most broken condition. And God, my prayer is let them know there's no shame over their lives. For what's under the blood is gone. Holy Spirit, walk through this entire room, every seat, and find the one or the dozens that you gave this message for to let them know that what's on the inside is still good. The purpose is still there. You can still make a difference. Don't limit your future by your past, for there's a prophecy that hangs over your head. And if you'll just serve the Lord completely, everything that God said will come to pass. God knew what would happen when he called you. He knew what you'd go through. But by his grace, all things are about to work together for your good. And we give God the praise for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. I love you. God bless you.